For sure. Seeds of Revolution, My Most Loved Gospel on Jesus. Commentaries on the Fifth Gospel of St. Thomas. Discourse number 8. Given at the Osho Commune International, Pune, India.
Bhagwan, Jesus saw little children who were being suckled. He said to his disciples, "These children who are being suckled are like those who enter the kingdom." They said to him, "Shall we then, being children, enter the kingdom?" Jesus said to them, "When you make the two one, and when you make the inner as the outer, and the outer as the inner, and the above as the below, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male, and the female not be female, then shall you enter the kingdom."
This is one of the deepest sayings of Jesus. And one of the most basic to be understood by a seeker. And also one of the most difficult to achieve. Because if this is achieved, nothing is left to achieve more. First, try to understand a few things. And then we will enter into the saying. Man, if he lives with the mind, can never be innocent. And only in innocence, the divine descends. Are you ascend to divine? Innocence is the door. Mind is cunning, calculating. It is clever. And because of this cleverness, you miss. You miss the kingdom of God. You may attain to the kingdom of this world through the mind. Because here, cunningness is needed. You have to be cunning, more successful, more calculating, more efficient in the ways of the world. But exactly the opposite is the door for the kingdom of God. There, no calculation is needed. No cleverness is needed. Mind is not needed at all. Because mind is just a mechanism to calculate. The mechanism to be clever. If you don't need any cleverness, any calculation, mind is useless. Then the heart becomes the source of your being, and heart is innocence. Why we go on being clever? Why the mind goes on thinking about how to deceive? Because that is the only way in this world to succeed. So those who want to succeed in this world will be failures in the kingdom of God. If you are ready to accept your failure in this world, then you are ready to enter the other world. The moment one is ready to recognize that the success of this world is not for me, I am not for it, immediately a conversion happens, a turning. Then the consciousness doesn't move outward, it starts moving inward. Jesus emphasizes innocence very much. sense he goes on talking about the beauty of the children, or the innocence of the flowers of lilies, or the innocence of the birds. But that type of innocence won't help. You have already lost that. So don't imitate him verbally. Don't try to understand him literally. It is just symbolic. You cannot be a child again. How it is possible? Once you have tasted knowledge, you cannot fall back. You can transcend it, but you cannot go back. There is no way to go back. You can go ahead. You can go beyond it, but you cannot go behind it now. There is no way. You cannot be an ordinary child again. How? How you can lose that which you have known? But you can go beyond, you can transcend. Remember this. Otherwise you can start imitating a child, and that imitation will be a cunningness. It will be again a calculation, because Jesus says, be like a child. So you start practicing how to be like a child. But a child never practices. A child is simply a child. He even doesn't know that he is a child. He is not aware of his innocence. His innocence is there. He is not self-conscious about it. But if you practice, then self-consciousness will be there. Then this childhood will be a false thing. You can act it, but you cannot be a child again, in the literal sense. But a saint, a sage, becomes like a child in a totally different sense. He has transcended. He has gone beyond mind, because he has understood the futility of it. He has understood the whole nonsense of being a successful man in this world. He has renounced that desire to succeed. The desire to impress others. The desire to be the greatest, the most important. The desire to fulfill the ego. He has come to understand the absolute futility of it. The very understanding transcends. The very understanding, and immediately you are transformed into a different dimension. Then again a childhood, that is called the second childhood. Hindus have called that stage the twice born, which again you are born. But this is a different birth, not out of a father and a mother. This is out of your own self, not out of two bodies meeting, not out of duality. It is through yourself that you are born. This is the meaning of Jesus' birth, that he was born out of a virgin. But people take everything literally and then they miss. Out of the virgin means out of the one. There is not the other, so who can corrupt? Who can enter into it? The virginity remains absolutely pure, because there is no other. When the other is there, you have lost your virginity. In the mind, the other is there. You have lost innocence. So the consciousness of the other, the desire for the other, is losing virginity. this second birth can be virgin. The first birth is bound to be out of sex. There is no other way. There cannot be. Jesus is born out of sex as anybody else. And it is right that it should be so. Jesus is just like you in the seed, but in the flowering he is absolutely different because his second birth has happened. A new man is born. Jesus, who was born out of Mary, is no more there. He has given birth to himself. In the old Essene sect, it is said that when a man is transformed, he becomes his own father. This is the meaning. When we say Jesus has no father, it means Jesus has become his own father now. This looks absurd, but this is how it is. Second birth is a virgin birth, and then you are innocent again. And this innocence is higher than a child, because the child will have to lose his innocence, because it is a gift by the nature. It is not earned by the child. It has to be taken away. When the child will grow, he will lose his innocence, and he has to grow. But a sage remains innocent. Now this innocence cannot be taken away, because it is the climax, the crescendo of growth. There is no growth further. If there is growth, then things will change. If you have reached the goal beyond which nothing exists, only then things will not change. A child has to grow every day. He will lose innocence. He will become experienced. He will have to attain to knowledge. He will have to become clever, calculating. But if you get so much obsessed with your calculating mechanism, then you remain born out of sex, out of duality. And then there is always a continuous conflict inside, because you are two. When you are born out of two, you are going to remain two, because both are there. A man is not only man, he is woman also. A woman is not only woman, she is man also, because both are born out of two. Your father goes on existing in you, your mother goes on existing in you. They both participated. In your body they both have met. Their streams go on flowing. You are two. And if you are two, how can you be at ease? If you are two, there is going to be a constant conflict. If you are two opposite polarities together, there is going to remain a tension always. This tension cannot be lost. And you go on trying how to be silent, how to be peaceful, how to attain bliss. It is impossible, because you are two. To be silent, oneness is needed. So you have to be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. Nicodemus asked him what I should do. Jesus said, first you have to be born again. Only then anything can happen. Right now, as you are, nothing can be done. And the same I say to you, right now as you are, nothing can be done, unless you are reborn, unless you become father of your own, unless your duality disappears, you become one. The woman within you and the man within you meet. They become a circle. They are not in fight. They disappear. They negate each other. And then oneness is left. This oneness is virginity. That's what Jesus means, be like children. Don't take it literally. But why like children? Because when a child is born, for the first few weeks, he is neither male nor female. Ask the biologist, they will tell you that he is neither. For few weeks, the child is neither male nor female. He is both, or none. The division still is not distinct. That's why now medical science is able to change the sex of the child. Few injections can change. Because both are there, the male and the female. The balance will be lost soon. Either male will predominate or the female will predominate. And whosoever predominates, that will become the sex of the child. But in the beginning there is a balance. Both are there. It will depend on hormones now. If we inject male hormones, the child will be male. If we inject female hormones, the child will be female. The sex can be changed. Because sex is the outer thing, does not belong to the being. It is belongs only to the circumference, to the body. It is a hormonal thing, physical. The being remains totally different from it. But then the distinction arises. The child starts either becoming a male or a female. In the beginning, the unity. Then the child is born. Bodily, now he is either a male or a female. But deep in the consciousness, still the distinction has not penetrated. In consciousness, he is still none. The child does not know whether he is male or female. It's still few months, and then the distinction will enter in the mind. Then the child will have a different outlook. Immediately he will become self-conscious. The body was one in the beginning, then the body separates. But even when the body separates, the child is one. Then the child also separates. The human being disappears. You are identified with being male or female, and that continues the whole life. That means you never reach the source again. The circle remains incomplete. A sage reaches to the source again. The circle becomes complete. Again, first, in the mind, the distinction disappears. Just the reverse. In the child, first the distinction comes into the body, then in the mind. In the sage, first the distinction disappears from the consciousness, then from the body. And before he dies, he is again one. This is the second childhood. Again, he has become innocent. But this innocence is very rich. The innocence of a child is poor because there is no experience. The innocence of a childhood is just like absence of something. But the innocence of a sage is a presence of something, not absence. He has known all the ways of the world. He has moved. He experienced all that was to be experienced. He moved to the very opposite end. He became a sinner. He delved deep. He indulged. He experienced all that this world can give. And now, he has come out of it. His innocence is very, very rich. Experience is there. You cannot disguise it now. Because he has known all that can be known. How can you disguise it now? You cannot motivate him anymore. All the motivation is gone. If you reach to this stage, in the beginning you were a child, in the end you again become a child, your life has been a circle complete. This is what perfection is. If you don't reach to the source again, your life has been incomplete. Incompletion is suffering. That's what Buddha calls dukkha, the misery. If you are incomplete, there is misery. If you are complete, you are fulfilled. A sage dies fulfilled, then there is no birth. Because then there is no need to come back to the world of experience. You die incomplete. Because of that incompletion, you have to be born. Your being will persist again and again to be complete. And unless you are complete, you will have to move again and again into birth, into death. That's what Hindus have been calling the wheel of life and death. A sage jumps out of the wheel. Because he himself has become a circle now, no wheel is needed. But what happens to the ordinary mind? The distinction remains to the very end. Sex remains to the very end. Even if the body becomes weak, the mind goes on. And sex is the basic duality. Unless sex disappears, the oneness, the non-dual, the Brahma, is not going to happen. Remember, the non-dual, the Advait, the Brahma, the One, is not a hypothesis. It is not a theory. It is not a doctrine. It is not a philosophical thing you can argue about. It is not a belief. It is a transcendence of sex. It is a very deep biological phenomenon. It is alchemical, because your whole body needs a transformation. Three old men were sitting in a garden on a bench discussing about their miseries, because old men have nothing to say. The one old man who was 73 said that my hearing is going. People have to shout into my ears, and even then I cannot hear rightly. The other said, my eyes are becoming weak. He was 78. I cannot see rightly, and moreover, I cannot even make a distinction between a blonde and a redhead. Then they asked the third man, they said, Mullah Nasruddin, and what is your trouble? Nasruddin, who was 93, he said, my trouble is deeper than you both. Last night it happened. We had a dinner, then some wine, then I rested on the sofa, I fell asleep. About half an hour later, I became aware that the wife has gone to the bed. So I went into the bedroom and I told to the wife, give me a little space. Let me come into the bed and we will have a little fun. The wife said, what? We had a little fun just 20 minutes before. And then Nasruddin tapped his head very sadly and said, gentlemen, my problem is that my memory is slipping. Sex goes on following to the very end. To the last, and you may not have observed, you may not have thought about it, but if a man has not transcended mind, the last thing in the mind when he dies will be sex, because that was the first thing when he was born. It is bound to be the last thing. It is natural. Try it. In the night, when you go to sleep, just watch the last thought the last, the very last. After that you fall into sleep. Remember it. And in the morning you will be surprised. That will be the first thought in the morning if you observe. I'll do it the other way. In the morning observe the first thought and remember it. In the night that will be the last thought. Because life is cyclic. Sex is the first thing in the life. It is going to be the last. If you don't transcend, you are just victims. You are not your own master. Have you known that whenever a person is to be hanged, what happens? If a male is hanged, the semen is released immediately. This happens in every prison, wherever people are hanged. The last thing. When he is dying, semen is released. What is the meaning of it? Why it should be so? Life is a cycle. It completes. That was the first thing through which he entered life. That is going to be the last thing through which he will again enter into another life. A sage transcends sex. But a sage has not repressed sex. Remember, because repression is not transcendence. If you repress, you are still in it. If you repress, you are still divided. A sage has not repressed anything. Rather, on the contrary, the male and the female energy within him has become a unity. Now he is neither male nor female. That's what Jesus has said, anaks of God. That's what Hindus mean when they depict Shiva as Ardhanarishwar, half man, half woman. He has become one. And Hindus say Shiva is the most perfect God, the greatest, Mahadeva. Why they call him Mahadeva, the greatest? Because he is half man and half woman. And when you are half man and half woman, consciously, both become one circle and both disappear. The duality has disappeared, he has become one. Jesus is talking about this oneness, Ardhanarishwar. Half male, half female, then you are neither. Then a new childhood has started, the second childhood. You are bridge, twice born. A new world of innocence is discovered. Now we will enter this sutra. Jesus saw children who were being suckled. He said to his disciples, "These children who are being suckled are like those who enter the kingdom. They said to him, 'Shall we then, being children, enter the kingdom?'" This is how disciples always miss. They take things literally. They understand words too much and the message is wordless. They cling to the symbols too much. They make them too concrete. While when Jesus speaks, his symbols are not concrete. They are liquid. They show something, they don't say anything. They are like indications. Fingers pointing to the moon, not saying anything. Once Jesus says that these children are like those who enter the kingdom, immediately we think that if we become like these children, then we will be capable, then we will be able. then we can enter into the kingdom of God. The disciple said, shall we then, being children, enter the kingdom? Jesus said, no. Just being children won't help. Jesus said to them, when you make the two one, and when you make the inner as the outer, and the outer as the inner, and the above as the below, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male, and the female not be female, then shall you enter the kingdom. This is what he means by being children again. Try to understand every sentence. When you make the two one, this is the basic problem. Have you observed, if a sun ray enters the prism, immediately it becomes seven. Then all the colors of rainbow appear. That's how a rainbow happens. Whenever in the rainy season, the air is filled with vapor, or small tiny drops of water, those drops of water hanging in the air behave like a prism. As sun ray enters, it is divided into seven immediately. That's how a rainbow happens in the rainy season when the sun is out of the clouds. A rainbow will be there. The sun ray is white, pure white. But through a prism it becomes seven. The whiteness is lost. Seven colors appear. Your mind functions as a prism. The world is one. Existence is pure white. Through your mind, it is divided into many. Everything through the mind seen becomes many. If you are very alert, you will see seven things in every mental concept. Mind divides just like a prism in seven. That's why we have divided the week in seven. Mahavir, because of this attitude of the mind, divided his whole logic into seven steps. They are called seven aspects of logic. And if you ask the question to Mahavir, he will answer seven answers. You ask one question, he will give you seven answers immediately. It was very confusing, because you ask one question and he gives seven answers. You leave him more confused than you had come. And because of those seven, Mahavir could not be understood. It was impossible to understand him, but he was absolutely correct. Because he is saying, you ask through the mind, I have to answer through the mind, and mind divides everything in seven. And those seven contradict each other. Bound to be so. Because the truth can be only one. The truth cannot be seven. When you say seven, you have to contradict. If you ask Mahavir whether God exists, he will say, yes, God exists. He will say, no, God doesn't exist. And then he will say, yes and no both. God exists and doesn't exist. And then he will say, both not. And this way he will go. In seven. Mind divides like a prism. Whenever you look through the mind, everything will become seven. If you look keenly, then seven. If you don't look keenly, then in two. If you ask an ordinary man, he will say, only two answers are possible. If you ask about God, either God is or God is not. Only two are possible. But he is missing five, because he is not very alert. Otherwise, possibilities are seven, not two. So two is the beginning of the many. Seven is the end of the many. Jesus says, when you make the two one, he is talking to very ordinary people. Mahavir was talking to the greatest scholars and logicians. That is the difference between the ideas. Jesus is talking to very poor, ordinary people. Just the mass. Mahavir is talking to very select few. He could talk about the seven. Jesus talks about the two, but they mean the same. Jesus says, when you make the two one. Mahavir says, when you make the seven one. When the seven disappear and one is left, you have attained. Jesus says, when the two disappear and one is left, you have attained. The difference is in the ideas, but they mean the same thing. How the two can disappear? What you should do? Nothing can be done through the mind, because if the mind is there, the two will remain. How the rainbow should disappear? How it can disappear? You just throw the prism and there is no rainbow. Just take the drop hanging in the air and the rainbow disappears. Don't look through the mind and the world of the many disappears. Look through the mind, it is there. Don't look through the mind, put it aside and see. Children look at the world without the mind, because the mind takes time to develop. Body comes first, then later on mind follows. It takes many years really. When the child is born on the first day, he looks at the world. The world is one. He cannot make any distinctions. How can he make? He cannot say this is green and that is red. He does not know red, he does not know green. He looks simply. The world is one. It is so one that he cannot make distinction between his own body and the mother's body. Jean Piaget has worked very much on the developing mind of a child. For his whole life he has been working on that. And he has come to reveal many truths. He cannot make any distinction between his own body and things. That's why he will take his own toe and start eating it. Because he cannot make distinctions. He cannot think that this is his own toe. It is useless sucking it. But he catches hold of it as he will catch hold of anything. There is no distinction. He will defecate and will start eating it. No bad, no good. He will say, what dirtiness? But there is no distinction to what he can do. Because of this, in India, many people have existed who have been for centuries trying to imitate the child. So they will eat food in the same place where they will defecate. And foolish people will call them Paramahansas, those who have attained. They are simply imitating the child. They don't make any distinction. But they make Otherwise, what is the need to do it? They make the distinction, but they force themselves not to make it. Buddha will not do it. Jesus will not do it. Krishna will not do it. But these so-called Paramhansas, you can find them all over the country, somewhere or other they are. They force themselves not to make distinctions. But whether you make distinctions or force yourself not to make distinctions, mind remains the focus. The distinction is there. You are repressing the distinction. You are behaving juvenile, but you are not innocent. When the two become one, just like the child. Child is born, he opens his eyes, he looks, but he cannot think. The look comes first. Thinking will follow. It will take time, sometimes years, when the child will become able to make distinctions. A child will immediately snatch a toy from another child's hand. And you will say, don't do that. That's not good. That toy is not yours. You are making a distinction of property. Because you believe in individual property. You think that this is mine and that is not mine. And for a child, no distinction exists. Toy is just a toy. He cannot think how it is not mine. If my hand can reach and snatch, it is mine. Mine and thine is still not clear cut. A child cannot make distinction between a dream and a reality. So a child in the morning may be weeping and crying because he was having a beautiful toy in his dream. Where it has gone, he wants it immediately to be given back. He cannot make a distinction between the dream and the real. He cannot make distinctions. His innocence is because he is still unable to make distinctions. And the sage's innocence comes when he has dropped making distinctions. Not that he cannot see that green is green and red is red. Not that he cannot make distinction that this is bread and that is a stone. But he has dropped the mind. Now he lives. Throw the look and not throw the think. That's why Hindus have called their philosophy darshanas. Darshan means to look, not to think. And philosophy is not a right translation. Because philosophy means to think. It is just the opposite. Darshana means to look. And philosophy means to think. They are just the opposite. They cannot be in any way joined together. A look like a child. When distinctions have been dropped, when you make the two one, and when you make the inner as the outer, because this inner and outer is also a distinction. I myself have to talk that leave the outer, come to the inner, move within, drop the without. But you can misunderstand the whole thing. Because when you drop the without, the within will be dropped automatically. When the outer is no more, how the inner can exist? They are relative terms. The inner exists only as opposite to the outer. When the outer is no more there, there is no more inner. First you drop the outer and the inner drops automatically by itself. Then there is no in, no out. You have become one. If there is still inner and the outer, then you are still two, not yet one. You are still divided. That's why Zen monks have said one of the most esteemed things ever assessed. They say, this world is the God. They say, ordinary life is religion. They say, everything as it is okay. Nothing is to be changed, because the very concept of change creates the two. That which is has to be changed into something which ought to be. A has to be changed into B. The two comes in. They said this very world is divine. God is not somewhere else, because that somewhere else creates a duality. God is not the creator, and you are not the creature. You are God. God is not the creator. This very creation is divine. The very creativity is God. Mind always tries to make distinction. That is mind's speciality. The more distinctions you can make, the more clever mind you have got. And mind will always say that these mystics are a little foolish, because boundaries are not clear. That's why they call religion mysticism. And by mysticism, they don't mean very good thing. They mean something vague, like mist, something cloudy, something not clear reality, but like a dream. These mystics are fools for logicians, because they don't make distinctions, and distinction is the whole thing you have to make. You have to know what is what. And the more distinctions you can make, logic thinks, nearer you come to the reality. That's why science, which follows the logic, which is the application of logic and nothing else, has reached to the atom. Making distinctions by and by, separating everything, they have reached to the atoms. And religion, not separating but joining. Dropping the boundaries, not drawing the boundaries, has reached to the ultimate, the one. Science has reached to the atom, which means the many, the infinitely many. And religion has reached to the one, the infinitely one. The approach. Science uses mind. Mind makes boundaries, clear-cut distinctions. Religion doesn't use mind. Then all the boundaries disappear. Everything becomes everything else. Things are meeting. The trees are meeting with the sky. The sky is dropping into the trees. The earth is meeting into the heaven. The heaven is reaching to the earth. And if you look deep in the life, you will find that these mystics are right. All boundaries are man-made. There are no boundaries in reality. They are useful, utilitarian, but not true. They help in certain ways, but they hinder also in certain other ways. Try to find distinctions. For the last week, you have been unhappy. Can you exactly pinpoint the moment when you became unhappy? Can you draw a line? Can you say exactly this day, 9:30 in the morning, sharp, I became unhappy? No, you cannot draw. If you search suddenly you will find everything is awake. You cannot say when you became unhappy. Then you will become happy. Watch. When you become happy again, you may have missed because you were not aware in the past, but now you are unhappy and sometime you will become happy because mind cannot remain in one state forever. You cannot help. Even if you want to remain unhappy permanently, you cannot remain. Then watch. Exactly which moment you become happy again. You will become happy when you will again miss the moment. It will be vague. What it means? It means happiness and unhappiness are not two things. That's why you cannot make the distinction. They melt into each other. They mingle into each other. Their boundaries merge into each other. There are no boundaries really. They are like a wave. They are like the hill and the valley. The valley follows the hill. The wave comes and the hollow follows the wave. Where the hill starts and where the valley ends, nowhere. They are one. It is your mind which says this is the valley and this is the hill. Can you have a hill without the valley? Can you have a valley without the hill? Can you have happiness without unhappiness? If you are trying, then you are trying impossible. Can you have unhappiness without happiness? Drop it, because this happiness and unhappiness is more poetic. Health, illness is more physiological. Watch. When you became ill, exactly, where can you draw the boundary? And when you became healthy, nobody can draw any line of demarcation. Illness becomes health, health becomes illness. Love becomes hate, hate becomes love. Anger becomes compassion, compassion becomes anger. It may be uncomfortable to conceive it, but mystics are true. You were a child. When you became young, when the youth entered into you, you are young. Someday you will become old. Watch. And mark it on the calendar that this day I have become old. And if you cannot make the distinction when you became old, can you make the distinction when you were alive and when you became dead? Even scientists are in much difficulty about it. But when to declare that a man is dead? And all that is known up to now is just utilitarian, not true. When to declare that a man is dead? When he is not breathing? But there have been yogis who have demonstrated in scientific laboratories that they can remain without breathing even for 10 minutes. So whenever a man is dead, he is not breathing. That cannot be the criterion of death. He may not be able to breathe again, but this is not the criterion, because people have demonstrated they can remain without breathing for 10 minutes. This man may be a yogi. He may not like to come back, but you have no right to declare that he is dead. But we have to declare, because the dead has to be disposed. When a man is really dead, when his heart stops functioning, or when his brain stops functioning. Now there are brains in scientific laboratories without the body, and they are functioning. Who knows what they are thinking? Maybe dreaming. They will not be even aware that they have lost the body. And scientists who have been observing brains without the body, they said they have also the same rhythm. They sleep, they are awake, they sleep, they are wakeful. And they show signs that they are dreaming. And they show signs that now they are not dreaming. They show signs that they are thinking. And they show signs sometimes that they are angry and agitated and tense and sometimes relaxed. Inside what they will be thinking, they must not be aware that the body is no more there. But can you call those minds dead? They are functioning well. Which part can be the criterion? Which moment can be the criterion? In the Second World War in Russia, they experimented, and at least 6 persons are still alive who were declared dead, because that was a sudden heart failure. They were declared dead, but they pumped blood, they revived, and there are 6 of them are still alive. What happened? They have been reclaimed. Is there really a boundary where life ends and death begins? No. Just a wave phenomenon. Life follows death just like a wave is followed by a hollow. They are not separate. They are one. The rhythm of the one. Mystics say that for utilitarian purposes it is okay that you divide, but the reality is indivisible. What to do to know this indivisible? Just put aside the mechanism that divides. This is what meditation is. Put the mind aside and look. Look without the mind. Be aware without the mind. See, and don't allow the thoughts to extend as a screen between you and the universe. When the clouds, the thoughts are not there, and the sun shines with full awareness, the world is one. When you make the two one, and when you make the inner as the outer, and the outer as the inner, and the above as the below, and when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male, and the female will not be female, then shall you enter the kingdom. And the most and the deepest distinction is between male and female. Have you observed that you never forget that somebody is male or female? You may forget his name. You may forget his religion. You may forget his face completely, but you never forget that he is man or woman. It is impossible, it seems, to forget. That means the deepest impact on your memory is left by the division. Somebody you met 20 years before, you cannot remember anything. The face has disappeared. The name has disappeared. But he was man or woman. It remains. It sticks. That made the deepest impact on you. As if the first thing you look in the other is whether he is man or woman. The first thing that you look and the last thing that remains with you. You may not be so consciously looking for it. But whenever you look a person, the first thing you note deep down is, he is man or woman. If she is a woman, you behave differently. If he is a man, you behave differently. If she is a woman, then your man inside you is attracted. Whether you know it or not, you may be unconscious about it, but your behavior becomes more tender. Now, the people who run markets, they know it well. So all salesmen are by and by replaced by saleswomen. It is bound to be so. If the purchasers are men, then it is better to have a saleswoman. Because then the purchaser cannot say no so easily as he can say to a man. When a woman puts a shoe on your feet, touches your feet, a beautiful woman, suddenly the shoe is not important. The shoe becomes secondary. It may be pinching you, but you say, beautiful, it is good. You have to purchase it. You are purchasing the woman, not the shoe. That's why with every advertisement, reasonably, unreasonably, related, unrelated, consistent, inconsistent, it makes no difference whether you have to sell a car or the shoes or anything. You have to put a naked woman near it, because the car is not purchased. The woman is purchased in the car. Sex is purchased in souls. Everything else is superficial. Deep down, you are looking for sex. Everywhere. Jesus says, and you will not be innocent. If this look for sex remains, then you remain divided. If you are a man, then you are looking for a woman. If you are a woman, you are looking for a man. Then the looking will go on concerned with the outer. It cannot become inner. You cannot move within. You cannot be meditative. The woman will disturb you. She will follow you. If you resist, if you fight, if you close your eyes, she will become more and more beautiful. She will tempt you. What to do? How to transcend this duality? Many methods have been used. Most of them are just deceptions. People say that think about every woman as your mother. It will not make much difference. It is a deception. Think of every woman as your sister. It makes no difference because she remains a woman. Sister, mother, makes no difference. She remains a woman and you remain a man. And the deep search goes on. And that search is so biological that it goes on behind your consciousness. It is a sub-stream. You watch, you are sitting in your room, a woman enters. Watch yourself, what happens suddenly? You are a different person. And if she is beautiful, then you are transformed more. What happens immediately? You are no more just the man it is. You are no more just the sex hormones. They start functioning, they put you aside. Your consciousness is lost. You are almost unconscious. you behave as if you are drunk. And yet we have not been able to discover a greater alcohol than sex, a greater drug than sex. It changes immediately everything. If you take LSD, things become colorful. Sex is an inbuilt LSD. Whenever you are sexual, things become colorful. Everything has a different look, a different sign. You are more alive. You don't walk, you run. You don't say anything, you sing. Your life has become a dance. You are living in a different dimension. Whenever there is not sex, suddenly you are back into the flat world. World of things discolored. No sign in them. You cannot sing. You cannot run. Everything has become lazy. Again, a woman enters into your life, or a man, everything takes colors. It becomes a romance to be. It becomes a poetry to exist. What is happening? And if this goes on happening, then you will be again in a duality, the deepest. And this duality will not allow you to see the real. And the real is blissful. It is neither happy nor unhappy. The real is beyond happiness, unhappiness. It is neither tense nor relaxed. It is neither dark nor light. It is beyond. All duality has ceased when you are blissful. Hindus have called that Ananda. It is beyond the two. You cannot say a sage is happy. He is not happy, because happiness has to be followed by unhappiness. You cannot say a sage is unhappy. A sage is blissful. He has passed the duality. Now there are no hills and no valleys. He moves on the ground. He moves on one level. There are no ups and downs, because up and down exist as dual. So Jesus says, when there is nothing above and nothing below, no up and no down, when there are not two, you cannot choose. You simply exist. And that existence is on one level. There are no waves. The ocean is absolutely silent and without any waves. Not even a ripple. Because nothing goes above, nothing goes down. The ocean has become a mirror-like thing. No ripples. All agitation has ceased. The whole agitation is through duality. And sex is the base of all duality. You can leave all other things very easily. The basic thing to leave is sex. And that is the most difficult, because it is in your every cell of the body, every cell of your being. You are a sexual being. You are born as a sexual being. That's why Jesus said, unless you born again, nothing will be of help. As you are, you will remain tense. As you are, you will remain miserable. And when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male and the female not be female, then shall you enter the kingdom. So what is to be done? Inside, a circle has to be made. Jesus has not said exactly what is to be done, because those secrets cannot be given openly. Those secrets can be given only to disciples. Jesus must have given them to his disciples, because just by saying that become one, no one is going to become one. Just by saying that the male should be female and female should be male, nobody is going to become one. Because this is the goal. What is the message? Jesus must have kept that method secret. He must have given to his disciples as a secret key. Because those greater secrets which can make you one are very dangerous also. If you miss, if you apply them in even a slight wrong way, you will go mad. That's the problem, and that is the fear. Normally, as you are a divided being. Your male energy seeking female energy outside, your female energy seeking male energy outside, this is the normal human being. The whole thing has to be transformed. Your male energy seeking female energy within. The man within you trying to meet the woman within you is very dangerous, because nature has not provided it. Nature has given you an urge to meet the woman, to meet the man. That urge is natural. But to try for this happening to happen within you alone is not natural. The key has to be applied very, very delicately. It can be done only under the master, one who has traveled the path. That's why the deepest secrets of religion cannot be given through scripture. They can be given only through initiation. But I will give you a few hints how it can be done. But remember well, if you want to do them, be careful not to move in any way. Whatever I say, not to move astray. Otherwise things can go wrong. It is better than to be normal. Because many religious people become mad. This is the reason. You have the key, but you don't know how to use it. You can use it wrongly. And if once you use the key wrongly, the lock is disturbed. Then it will be very difficult to repair the lock. These methods are to be done only under a master. So the master goes on continuously watching you, what is happening. I give you few things because I am here, and if you want to work, you can work. The first thing, whenever you make love to a woman or a man, that is the right moment to look for the inner woman or the inner man. Whenever you make love to a woman, make with closed eyes. Make it a meditation. The woman outside can help, always helps, for the inner woman to become awake. And when you make love, your inner energies of male and female both come to a peak. And when the orgasm happens, it is not between you and the outer woman, It always happens between you and the inner woman. So if you are alert, you will become aware of the phenomena that inside there is happening a meeting of energies. And whenever this happens, the orgasm will be all over the body. It will not be local. It will not be confined to the sex center. If it is confined to the sex center, it is just a masturbation, nothing else. Orgasm means the whole body, every fiber of the body, throbs with a new life, with a new energy, because much energy is released by the meeting. The meeting is happening within, but if you go on looking outside, you will miss. The outer woman or the outer man is just a representative of the inner. When you fall in love with a woman or a man, you fall in love only because that woman or man corresponds somehow with the inner. That's why you cannot give any reasons why I'm in love with this woman. Because it is not a rational thing at all. You carry a woman within. Whenever any woman fits with that inner woman, suddenly you are in love. That love is not manipulated by you. It is not your mind who is falling in love. It is something very unconscious. In this woman you have a glimpse. Suddenly you feel that this is the right person. What makes this woman a right person? Because for others she is not the right person. There are people who will hate her. There are people who will be repulsed. There are people who will never look to this woman again. There are people who will not recognize that she has anything. And there will be people who will laugh about you, that how you have fallen with this woman. Are you mad? But this woman somehow, or this man, somehow fits with the inner. That's why love is an irrational thing. Whenever it happens, it happens. You cannot do anything about it. If it is not happening, you cannot do anything about it. When you make love to a woman, the inner energy comes to a peak. It comes to a crescendo. At that crescendo, don't go on looking out. Otherwise you will miss something beautiful that is happening. Something very mysterious that's happening inside. You are beginning a circle. Your two, male and female, are meeting. You are beginning Ardhanarishwar. In this moment your whole body will vibrate from the toes to the head. Every nerve of the body will vibrate with life. Because this circle is stretched all over the body. It is not sexual. It is more than sex. Watch it. Watch the reaching of the peak, the meeting of the inner energies. Then watch when the tide has gone and the ebb starts. Watch by and by the separation of the energies again. If you do it for a few times, you will become immediately aware that the outer woman or the man is not needed. This can be done without the outer. Because this is happening without the outer. The outer is just a trigger point. That trigger point can be done inside. And once you know how you can do it inside, and this has to be experienced only then you know. I cannot say how. You have to observe, watch, and you will know the way, how the energies come, how orgasm happens, how they separate again. Again the two comes. For a single moment the one happens in you. That's why so much attraction of sex. That's why so much pleasure is derived out of orgasm. because for a single moment you become one, the two disappears. And in the moment of orgasm, there is no mind. If mind is there, orgasm cannot happen. In the moment of orgasm, not a single thought, the whole prism is put aside. You are, but without thoughts. You exist, but no mind. This happens only for such a single moment that you can miss it easily. You have been missing it for many lives. It's such a small gap that if you are interested outside, you have missed it. So close the eyes, watch inside what is happening. Don't try to make anything happen, just watch whatsoever is happening. By and by, it happens just like when you come inside a room, walking outside in the sun, you come inside the room, everything is dark. You cannot see anything, because your eyes are still not accustomed to this dark room. Wait, sit down, and go on silently looking. By and by, the darkness will disappear. You will become aware of things. Now your eyes are accustomed to it. Coming from the outer to the inner is a great problem, only because your eyes are accustomed to the outside. Inside looks dark. And by the time you are ready, the moment is gone. So meditate more and more with closed eyes and look inside, so you can become attuned to the inner darkness. It is not dark. It appears you to dark because you are accustomed to the outside light. By and by, a diffused light comes. Things become clear. A moment comes when things become so clear that when you will open the eye, you will find outside is darkness. Arvind is reported to have said that when for the first time I came to know what is in, the light that is out became like darkness. Life that is out became like death. Because now something higher, something greater, something of the source is happening. Watch how the inner circle comes. How the two energies become one. And in that oneness there is no mind and no thought. Look, by and by you will be able to see what is happening. And once you know what is happening, the outer can be dropped. No need to drop it, but can be dropped. A woman is beautiful, a man is beautiful. Love is good, nothing is wrong. It is healthy and all. No need to drop it, but it can be dropped. And you are no more dependent to it. Now you can allow the phenomena to happen inside. And a moment comes when this inner circle remains forever. Because with the help of the outer, it cannot remain forever. Because the outer has to separate. The separation is a must. With the inner, there is no need to separate. If the inner marriage happens, there is no divorce. There is no possibility. Because it is always there. Both are there. Once they have met, there is no question of any divorce. With the outer, divorce happens continuously. One moment you are together, next moment you have to be separate. When this circle remains continuously in you, this is the state of Ardhanarishvara. And this is what Jesus means. And when you make the male and the female into a single one, so that the male will not be male and the female not be female, then shall you enter the kingdom of God. You have entered. you have become perfect. You are not divided, you have become indivisible. Now you have a self, now you have freedom and independence. Now you lack nothing. You are complete in yourself. Unless this circle happens, you will lack something and you will depend on others to fulfill it. That's why sex looks like a bondage. It looks like a dependence. And whenever you feel there is dependence, you resent it. Hence the continuous fight with the lover. You resent. You cannot go away from the other because you depend, and nobody wants to depend on anybody. Because every dependence is a limitation. Because the other tries to dominate. The other tries to possess. And if you are dependent, you have to allow certain domination to the other. Because you are afraid. This is a mutual agreement that I will be dependent on you, you will be dependent on me. So we both can possess each other in certain ways. And we both can dominate each other in certain ways. But nobody likes domination and possession. That's why love is such a misery. And if you love a person and resent also, how can you be happy? Even the most beautiful person becomes ugly. Mullah Nasruddin was sitting with a friend. His wife came. The friend said, "I suppose this is your most charming wife." Mullah Nasruddin looked sadly and said, "This is my only wife." That sadness is always with lovers. Because no woman can fulfill. Even if you get all the women of the world, it will not be a fulfillment. Because the inner is greater than the all. All the men of the world will not be able to fulfill a woman. No, it is not possible. Something or other will always be lacking. And this problem of time, because only for a single moment the meeting can happen, and then separation. Because no man can be exactly like the inner. Unless you attain to the inner unity, you will move from one misery to another, from one woman to another, from one man to another, from one life of misery to another life of misery. The change may give you the hope, but it is hopeless. The whole affair is hopeless. When this circle happens, you become again one, innocent like a child, more than the child. More than ever any child can be, you have become a sage. Meditate on these words of Jesus. And what I have said, try. But if you want to try, let me know. If you start working for the inner circle, then let me continuously know what is happening. Because if something can go wrong, and two energies can meet in a wrong way, you will go mad. That's the fear of becoming a sage. If you fall to the very bottom, you become mad. If you reach to the very top, you become a sage. It is always if someone wants to walk on the heights, one has to have courage. Because if you fall, you fall to the depth. Near the heights, abyss is always there. So remember that. A very balanced effort is needed. And many other things. If you want to work on it, I will tell you. But that can be done only personally. That's why Jesus talks about the goal, but never talks about the method. The method is to give in personally. It is the initiation. Enough for today.